Hello, everybody. Welcome to or welcome back to Remixed Reality Podcast. I'm your host, Lily Tombe, and thank you for joining me on this episode. It's going to be a little bit different. It's just me today because it's almost my birthday, and I think what better way to kind of end off Remixed Reality pre-holiday season break than to kind of recap and go over different things that I've learned over the past 21 years, because I turned 21 in a few hours, but by the time you guys get this episode, I will already be 21. So I've been sitting and reflecting. I think one thing I always do before the end of the year, before I enter the next year, whether it's my birthday or just the new year, is reflect upon the different things and the lessons that I've learned. So I thought I would share those with you guys. So this is going to be 21 things I learned / reminders that I've learned. And a lot of these have been very prevalent, especially in this year, but a lot of this is stuff that I learned a while ago, but especially this year, it would be tested more than anything. Shout out to all my December babies. I'm sending you so much love. Guys, one thing is everybody always mixes up our birthday and Christmas like it's the same thing. Like, no, like, I'm grateful to be sharing a birthday month with Jesus, but please, guys, they're two separate occasions, please. But anyways, so if you have a friend that's a December baby, don't combine their Christmas and their birthday presents. Just don't. Okay? Anyways. I'm feeling much better. I know one of the last times you guys just heard me, I sounded terrible. And then last week, we had an amazing episode with Lexi. Love that episode. And I can't wait to hopefully do a part two with her in person when I get back in America, mukbang style. Because, yeah, she brought it up. I'm like, let's do it. So hopefully that comes to pass very, very soon. I did a cool room clean, you know, got to bring good vibes with me into this next year. So I just cleaned my room, I'm doing my laundry, I'm doing everything just to reset and get ready. It is finals week, finals 2 weeks here, but I am hanging in there, I'm studying, I'm taking breaks, I'm doing all that stuff, so hopefully I have time tomorrow to celebrate for even just a little bit. So yes, without further ado, let's get started in today's episode. All right, so one of the biggest things that I learned or that I've learned growing up is the words that you speak actually hold power, right? I've talked about this, of how the things that you consume, the words that you let people speak over you all have power, but the words that you specifically speak have power, so speak life always. I'm trying to remember what book I was reading. I was reading the Bible yesterday, and I don't remember what book in particular I was reading. It was just talking about life and like speaking life in situations and how the power of the tongue is just so incredibly important and holds so much weight that we kind of just oftentimes throw to the side and don't really realize. And so one thing I learned is like speaking life into your life, into other people's lives, is one of the greatest things that you can always do, right? I think the world is filled with a lot of negativity. There's a lot of things that happen. And it's so easy to turn to speaking death over certain things, right? But I truly, truly, truly believe that when we speak life into situations, we see that the situations follow suit, right? If I'm cursing something in advance, what do I think is going to happen, right? So I would say just be an optimistic person that is able to look at a situation that looks really, really desolate and be like, no, I believe there's going to be life in that. So yes. And on the same topic of your words and all those different things, being a person of your word doesn't just simply mean making promises that you can't keep. But let me say that again. Being a person of your word doesn't simply mean making promises that you can't keep. You're like, obviously, if I don't keep the promises, then I'm not a person of my word. But let me break it down. I think so many of us bite off more than we can chew and make all these promises because we want to constantly please everybody else around us. Then when it comes down to it, you look like a fool because you said that you were going to do something and you didn't do it. I think your word is something that's in truly like really amazing. Your word, like putting your word to something, like, but behind your word, it's also action, right? I can't just say I want to be fit and then sit in my bed 24/7. Like, I have to take action. My words mean nothing in that sense. And that's another thing, is when you continue to make promises that you can't keep, your word becomes unreliable and people aren't going to rely on you. People aren't going to go to you for advice. People aren't going to count on you for anything. And then you're going to feel alone and isolated. So being a person of your word actually means following suit with what you're saying you're going to do. Next. Your true character is often reflected by the way you treat people who have nothing to offer you. That, I think, is something that it takes a level of humility and reflection to be like, oh, wow, how do I treat people who genuinely have nothing to give me? Like, and I'm not saying that you should be going into every relationship, every situation, like, what can this person give me? Like, sometimes these experiences are just meant to be experiences and that's it. But how you treat people who genuinely, like, what their existence in your life isn't going to benefit you in any way, shape, or form, I think is genuinely a test of your character. And I think in those situations, being kind is always the answer, right? If even if you have nothing to offer me, if how can I serve you, I think is a mindset and heart posture that I have had for a while and I want to continue to grow, right? It's like, I don't want to just be somebody who has transactional relationships. Like, no, I think that there is beauty in simply just being kind to one another and enjoying each other's presence without expecting something in return. Okay. On a similar note, God is really the only one who knows your true character. I think a lot of us spend every day in our life putting on a facade, walking through our lives, doing all those different things. You know, God is truly the only one who knows who you are behind closed doors and knows the true depths of who you are. And so many people will try to question your character, but I want to tell you, sometimes you just got to let them. Sometimes, and I think it's one of the biggest things because it requires you setting your pride aside, and that's something that a lot of us can't do. And a lot of our biggest flaws is the amount of pride that we have, that we can't ask for help, that we can't step outside of ourselves, that we're too prideful to do this or not do that. But I think sometimes defending your character isn't worth it. You just got to let it, your character speak for itself. Because honestly, sometimes when people are questioning our character, there's probably some validity in it, right? There's probably a level of, okay, no, I see what they mean by that, you know? I was having a conversation with a friend the other day, and it kind of just opened my eyes because I, for once, was, like, playing the devil's advocate in a situation that I don't think I typically would have. But I was like, no, like, I think just because you disagree with this certain aspect of what they said or you can't see their perspective doesn't mean that what they felt was wrong. I think it takes us taking a step back and analyzing that there are some things that we won't know or that there are some situations and circumstances that we can't necessarily speak into. But I think, yeah, you're allowed to feel the way that you are, and she's also allowed to feel the way that she does. I don't think that, you know, simply you having a different viewpoint means that whatever she said is wrong. And I think it kind of goes down to that, right? Like somebody thinking, oh, you're this or you're that, or you're selfish or you're this, that's probably a characteristic that they somehow experience from me, right? And instead of getting defensive and trying to defend ourselves, just prove that you're not a selfish person by the way that you act, the way that you interact with people around you. And I promise you, you're gonna silence the people who keep questioning your character. But yeah. All right. This one, I think it's one that a lot of us need to hear. I think it's a beautiful reminder that you're a lot more capable than you think you are. I think a lot of us question our strength, our intelligence, all those different things, but you are way stronger than you think you are. And the thing is, I don't think that God gives more than we can handle to us. I think that it's going to break you. It's going to, you know, cause you to be folded, not folded under pressure, but cause you to go through some pressure. But I do think it's stuff that you can handle. And so I want to remind you that you're capable than a lot more than you think you. I wonder how many people went their life living a mediocre life because they were so scared and thought that they weren't capable of doing something. Like, you won't know until you try. You actually won't know until you try. And on that similar note, one thing that I learned is nothing will haunt you more than the regret of not putting yourself out there and taking that step and taking that risk. I think some of the only things that I regret is not doing something. It's not what I did do. It's what I didn't do. It's the person that I didn't talk to. It's the idea that I didn't write down. It's the song that I didn't finish. Those are the only things that I typically regret in my life. And that those are the only things that haunt me in a little bit. I know everything works out for a reason at the end. But understanding that you owe it to yourself to try. You owe it to yourself to put yourself out there. Okay? All right. I think oftentimes we think that when we put ourselves out there, that there's going to be success overnight. And that's not true. So another thing I learned within these 21 years of life is that struggle is actually a sign of progress. When you're struggling with something, it's actually a sign that you're continuing. You're going. To you, it might seem like it's the complete opposite, because when you struggle, sometimes we feel like there's like a stop, if that makes sense. There's like a physical barrier between us. But no, it means that you're making progress. You're taking strides. You're in new territory that you haven't been before. You're in areas that is no longer familiar, which is why you're struggling. And so in the midst of your struggle, keep pushing. Keep pushing. I can't tell you how many times this year or even within the past 21 years in which I thought that struggle meant that I was a failure. But no, it actually meant that I was progressing forward. It means that I was about to unlock something that I didn't think that I was capable of unlocking. All right. Yes. Number 9, one of my favorite sayings that you'll hear me say all the time, I think if you had to ask some of my closest friends, what is something that Lily always says, it's this: rejection is redirection. It's easier said than done, in more ways, but I think understanding that rejection or doors closing in your face is just a sign that that wasn't a direction that you're meant to go. And it stings a lot in the moment, right? And we're all going to go through rejection in our life. Some of us experience it on a daily basis. But understanding that, that simply just means that it's not meant for you. Whatever is meant for you will come for you. And it's hard because sometimes we wait and we wait and we wait and we get excited because we think that this is something that we want. This is something that we need. And then it just turns out it's not. But I promise you, one thing that's got me through 21 years of life is understanding that rejection is redirection. And this mindset is one that I instilled in my brain during my senior year of high school. It was post-college apps. We're getting ready to get ready for college. You know, March is coming. A lot of, you know, UC admissions and all that stuff are coming out. And I knew rejection was redirection. Although it stings in the moment, I know that me not getting into a school just simply meant that's not where I'm meant to be. And that whatever opportunity comes my way, whatever opportunity that's meant for you will not pass you by. Amen. Okay. Number 9, you will be okay. I think this is one that we don't typically tell ourselves, but if you look at, you know, the battles and stuff that you've walked through throughout your life, you thought everything that was going to take you out was going to take you out, and it didn't, right? I say that a lot. But I think understanding that you've come so far and you're going to continue to push through, and whatever circumstance that you're facing right now that feels heavy, I promise you, you will be okay. You will absolutely transcend this. You're going to look back at this moment in time and be like, wow, I can't believe I even doubted the fact that I would get out of this season, that I would get out of this rut. And I think as somebody who struggled a lot with this idea, it's so easy to let your current problems drown you. Or even worse, let the problems and the things that you face in the past drown you. Like, oh, you dealt with this 10 years ago. You're dealing with this now. Maybe your life is just going to be a struggle fest. Like, no, I believe that you will be okay. And I think part of staying afloat in the midst of feeling like you're drowning is just the constant reminders of like, this too shall pass. And I promise you it will. And so I posted something on my close friend's story the other day. And it was like, this year felt like I was a black woman in a Tyler Perry movie. And I just thought that was so funny, but so true. And I think despite that, it's like, even though things aren't perfect, they're better than they were yesterday. And they're going to be better than, you know, it's just going to keep getting better. And I know that at the end of the day, I will be okay. Amen. Amen. All right. This one's big. And I want to spend a little bit of time on this question because I think there's many layers to it. But gaining a level of self-control will transform your life. And I mean in all areas of your life. Self-control, one of the fruits of this, I think is something that it takes everything out of you. Self-control, having to control yourself. I know that you guys know what self-control is, but this idea that you actually have the power to dictate what you do and don't do, what you consume and don't consume, the habits you have and don't have, is one that a lot of people think is just, oh, I'm human. Like, no, I just have to, you know, no, I think you have power over your brain. You have power over your actions. You have power over your body, and you can set different things in place in order to transform your life. Self-control, people. It's hard. It's a hard thing. It's like a muscle. You have to continue to practice it. And one thing that's really interesting, and I'm going to go through different areas. For example, the gym, right? I have been consistent in the gym this entire year. I've seen progress, right? But even when I didn't see progress, I kept going. I kept showing up, and it actually transformed my life. But what it did do is it took a high level of self-control. It meant that regardless of if I felt like crap, right? Not because I was sick or because there was something, like I just wasn't there. I was still going to show up for myself. Because you know what showing up for myself meant? After, I would feel so much better. I would have a level of energy. My mental health would be peak 10 out of 10. I would be happy. I could get any stress that I have out at the gym. I can do all these different things. I started boxing again last year or this year. And it really just taught me that I needed to gain a level of self-control, whether that meant waking up at 5:30 to be at the gym at 6 o'clock or ending the night with the gym or going after work or whatever the case is, I made sure I was there. And it transformed my life. It taught me that I can push myself beyond limits that I ever thought I could. Things that I never thought I was capable of, I was doing. It will transform your life. But you're like, how do you gain self-control? That's a question. That's a good question. You keep practicing. A lot of people will miss a day in the gym, get mad at themselves, and then never go back, right? That's why in January you see an influx of people, and then, you know, by week three of January, you don't see people. Side note, I always complain about how the gym is so packed, but I am so happy to see that there's a lot of people in there trying to better themselves, all the stuff. There's no better time, in my opinion, to get in the gym than in the new year, because everybody's motivated, everybody's doing anything, but keep going, keep pushing, keep going. Anyways, that has to do with gyms. In school, right? Procrastination, I feel like, falls under this whole same umbrella. It's like, if you continuously don't do your assignments or continuously only use AI to make your assignments, you're actually hindering yourself. So a lack of self-control hinders you, right? So not having self-control to wake up and go to the gym will hinder you in many ways, probably your health, your mental health, physical health, whatever the case is. And you not having self-control to not use AI. I'm pressed. You're probably like, Lily, why are you so pressed? I'm pressed because I have a million group assignments and these people want to keep using ChatGPT to generate everything. And I'm just actually getting stressed out. I'm like, it gets to a point. But not having self-control, you're a weak-minded person. That's all I'm going to say in many aspects. But specifically in school, procrastination, like I said, falls under this umbrella. Cheating, like on a test, or using AI when you're not supposed to, that also falls under this umbrella of self-control. So when you exercise the muscle of not indulging in things that you want to, because you know it's bad for you, that's when you continue to gain this level of self-control like never before. And your life will be transformed, right? This whole, it can relate to food, it can relate to relationships. You know, you'll just have to hear from Love Dr. Lily in February. But I think in every aspect, it's one of the fruits of the spirit for a reason. And I think that's one that a lot of people struggle with, is having self-control. And I think you hear a lot of Christians say this, but dying to your flesh daily and understanding that, yes, you have desires and wants and different things like that, but your brain is also powerful and you can not do certain things that even though your body is telling you to do it, if that makes any sense. But self-control, gain it. It'll change your life. That's one of the greatest things that I'm glad I would wake up, I would exercise it. It was a muscle, regardless of how I felt, I was going to do it. Right? And this applies to many areas of my life. Self-control to wake up and read the Bible and to journal. That's another thing. It's a muscle. You continue to do it. And as you continue to do it, it continues to get stronger. And you see new results and you're learning new things. And it's just the greatest thing ever. Now, I think this is one that I more recently came around to because I just felt like I was kind of trapped in this mindset. But don't neglect the things that you once loved deeply. Whether that's little habits, whether it's baking, cooking, singing, any gifts that you have. I think at some point in time, a lot of us hit like a point in our life in which we're like, yeah, I'm going to leave that. You know, it doesn't feel like me anymore, whatever the case is. And then you come back to it at some point in your life. You're like, wow, I love this. And I would say don't neglect the part of yourself that you used to love and the different habits that you used to have that you would spend so much time on. A couple things for me is writing. It's one thing that I feel like I've neglected a lot this year that I wish I kind of did more of. But I'm able to reflect on the past 21 years and realize that when I was engaging in the things that I love, like writing, like music, all those different things, that I was actually the happiest that I have ever been because they're things that I loved for a reason. And it's okay to outgrow certain things, but just ask yourself, am I outgrowing this or do I just feel embarrassed for doing this? I think everybody goes through a season in their life in which the thing that everybody loves about them is something that they hate about themselves, or the thing that, you know, everybody says you're really good at is something that they feel very insecure about. And I think it's just human nature, right? We're our biggest critics. But for me, like, especially living in a house with five other people right now, it's like singing, obviously can't really do that. And writing, it's like I really didn't have any excuses, right? But those things started to feel like chores. Writing started to feel like a chore. And I realized it's because I wasn't approaching it in the same mindset that I used to. I'm going into it with like, oh, I need to write this perfect hook. I need to write this perfect, you know, poem. I need to do whatever. But no, just do it for the fun of it, right? And so I just want to remind you that you shouldn't neglect the things that you love deeply. And I think it's something that I really need to tell 21-year-old Lily. And yeah. All right, let me get comfortable. Number 12, spend time with yourself. Like just you, right? Like no phone, no friends, No, let's hang out and not talk. No, just like genuinely by yourself. Being abroad, and I think I had plenty of time with myself. maybe too much, because we were downstairs and we were talking about how cold it was. And one of my roommates was like, oh, just stay in your room. It's because you keep leaving, to one of my other roommates. And then that roommate was like, well, Lily stays in her room all day and her room is still cold. And I was like, oh, okay, right. We're calling me out. But I agree. I have spent so much time with myself. And I think I found things about myself that I love, things about myself that I want to, you know, develop and, you know, do better. There's habits that I recognize in myself that I don't like and I want to break. And spending time with yourself, one, is scary for a lot of people because they have the realization that they either really love themselves, and that's kind of scary for a lot of people, especially if it's the first time that you're experiencing that, or that they hate themselves. And so it's usually kind of, you know, it reveals that relationship, and both answers are scary, right? Maybe equally scary. But I want to encourage you that, like, actually enjoying your own company and taking time and understanding who you are, like, I think that's something that I really did for 21. Is like spending time with myself and, you know, learning the quirks and different things about me that I just neglected or I just didn't really understand. And I think everybody should have time to themselves. Everybody should have time to just shut out everybody else and just really reflect on you. You're going to be with yourself for the rest of your life. People come and go, but you are the only person that is going to be stagnant besides God. I think that's one thing that I want to be very intentional. I hope this is something that I wrote that I can write down if I do my halfway, you know, year check-in. And I'm like, yeah, you've been spending a lot of time with yourself. Like, you're learning to love yourself. You're identifying different things about you. I hope that's something that I can write down. Side note, my friend, we were studying yesterday at a cafe. Okay. And she was like, oh yeah, you're turning 22 tomorrow, right? I was like, what? Like, don't disrespect me like that. And I realized that's around the corner. So yeah, I was like, no, I'm not. I'm turning 21. She's like, girl, like, sorry. Like, she's 22. So because I was like, oh no, I'm not. But hey, I need to not be scared of aging. And it's not even the fact that I'm aging. I love that I'm getting older. I love that I have more responsibility. I love all these different things. But it's just saying it. Like, oh, I have to say that I'm older. I have to say that I'm 21. Like, that's so crazy. Anyways, let's keep pushing. All right. This one's huge. And Lexi kind of touched on this a little bit in last week's episode as well. But don't place your identity in other people or things. One thing that Lexi and I talked about was how she's more than just a track star, right? And a lot of us will attach things that we do, things that we've done in our past, to our identity. And specifically things, we'll talk about things and we'll talk about people. I think when we attach things to our identity, like let's say you're a pro athlete, right? And then something happens and you're not anymore. How do you think you're going to feel after that? If all you thought you were made of was just your ability to perform, your ability to, you know, make a bunch of touchdowns or whatever the case is, how do you feel when that's taken? How do you think that's going to happen? What do you think is going to happen when all of that goes away one day? You're a person that may be a pro athlete. You're a person that may do this or do that, but you're a lot more than that, right? You were a person and you were enough before you even gained any of those skills or performed on the track or whatever the case is. And so understanding who you are outside of your sport or outside of your job is something that is so important. Also on that same note is identifying yourself in people. This can look many ways. Let's say your family has a well-known name. You're the this family, you're the that family, right? Everybody knows you. Yeah, you're a part of that family, but that's not all who you are. I think at some point in time, a lot of us will be flattered by this idea of like, oh, you're known to be a part of this family. But then at some point in time, it's going to get sick. You're going to get sick of it. And you're going to realize, no, I'm a lot more than just the legacy that my parents built. Like, I'm this, I'm that, and all those different things. I think that's something that's important to step into. In relationships also, you see people identifying with their partner, constantly being attached to the hip and all those different things. And then if something happens to that relationship, God forbid, how do you think you're going to feel when your identity was rooted in another person? And so that whole thing goes back to understanding yourself, spend time with yourself, being very intentional. Because at the end of the day, different labels, different titles, and different people will come and go. And so don't continue to identify yourself and other people or things, because oftentimes it's temporary. Okay, guys, you can still see my breath. Like, oh my gosh, it's cold. Okay, next. It's okay to close chapters in your life that you thought would be forever. Oh, I don't know who needs to hear that, but I think a lot of us, whether it's friendships or whatever the case is, we have this like, oh, it needs to work out mentality. Like, it needs to work out. Oh, I have to go to this college. I have to go to this college. I have to stay here 4 years. I have to do this. I have to stay at this job. Oh my goodness. I have to. No. There's some things that it's okay to let go. And it's going to suck really, really bad when you come to the realization that this thing that you thought was going to be with you for the rest of your life, for your highs and lows, is no longer going to be there. But I think it's important to let it go. I don't know if anybody has seen the trend on TikTok where it's like, when you're 20s, you're going to meet this person. It's important you don't become friends with them. Or like, whatever the case is. Like, I don't know if you guys have seen the different trends, but I think it's like, many of us walk through our lives thinking everything around us is going to be here forever. And unfortunately, it's not. There's going to be opportunities that you thought were going to fit you for the rest of your life. And you're going to come to a point and realize, this just isn't who I am anymore. And that's all okay. That is okay. Some chapters are not meant to be in your life forever. Although we, you know, because it sounds very cynical. Like, why would I have something come in my life if I don't think it's going to be here forever? And I think it's very important to just understand that things don't always work out how we think it's going to. But give yourself grace in the midst of that. I was with my aunt for a little bit. And actually, we had this conversation when I got back. I called her the other day to just check in, see how she was doing. And she was talking to me about relationships and all those different things, right? In my opinion, she's very woke. She's a woke aunt in terms of like African auntie sense, right? Like, you typically wouldn't hear a lot of this kind of come out of their mouths, but she's very woke in this sense. Okay. Like, one of the wokest, is wokest a word? I don't know. But she was talking to me about how her and her husband didn't work out and all those different things. And she's saying how people oftentimes will force something that isn't meant to be forced. Right? The people are going to try and be like, oh, we have to stick together because the kids and this, that, and the third. And she was just talking about how, like, no, yeah, it sucks. Obviously, you went into that union with the expectation that, like, this is going to be forever. But you also have to understand that there are some things that aren't meant to be in your life forever. And just hearing her say that, I'm like, wow, that's crazy. And especially because she's a woman of faith and that background and all those different things. I was like, that's interesting to hear her say that. But I respected it and I loved it. And just thinking, like, she really just believed, yeah, it's okay to close a chapter that you really thought. And your life's going to look different than you imagined, especially in that aspect, you know, not having your husband anymore, or not raising your family together. That's going to look different. But it's what she needed in that moment. It's what they needed in that moment. In order to be better individuals, in order to be better parents, they had to actually separate. And that's something that you don't really hear that often, specifically in the African community. And so I appreciated that perspective from her. But yes. All right. This one is one that I think will humble you and you need to do. And I think it's one that I've done and I'm trying to be more intentional with, but take time and reflect on how you treated the people around you. I think one thing, and I'm guilty of this, is a lot of us complain about how we don't have friends, but then you look, okay, how do you treat everybody else around you? Why do you think we might not have friends? And I'm not saying that you're always the issue, but I do think it's important to take a step back and reflect. There was something that happened in the beginning of the school year and I was mad. I was pissed off. And then I realized, Lily, this is so dramatic. You're about to get all mad and be all, you know, petty and stuff in your messages. And it's really just not that serious. And if I would have went through, I'm like, oh yeah, you would have been a bad friend. Because instead of, you know, addressing the situation, having an adult conversation, like the adult person you are, you were just going to be petty. And then you wonder why. And so I think we should all take a time and reflect. I saw a video and it was like, a lot of us want a village but aren't willing to be a villager. And I'm like, oh, period. She ate. But it's true. It's like, how many of us are willing to actually put in the work that we're just expecting the results overnight? And I'm not talking about the gym. I'm talking about it actually takes time to build healthy friendships around you, right? And I think part of that starts with reflecting on how do I treat people around you, and going back to what I said in the beginning, not just people who you admire, people that you want something from, but everybody around you. One of the biggest things, okay, is watching how people treat other people is something that is so beautiful or really sad, okay? And so, you know, I'm Hispanic and do a lot of people watching, and just seeing how people interact with their parents, with their grandparents, and, you know, their kids and all that stuff, I think is very telling of the type of person that they are, because they're not expecting this stranger that's walking behind them is really paying attention. And seeing how people choose to interact with one another, I think is something that's really interesting. And it allows me to reflect on how I treat the people around me. Watching people in front of me treat people badly, one, leaves a bad taste in my mouth, and two, makes me want to treat the people that I have in my life so much better, right? So take time and reflect. And you might be shocked. You might be like, oh, wow, there's been times where I've been a terrible friend. And it's going to suck to admit, but you need to admit it and work on it, right? And it's okay to take accountability. I think that's one of the biggest things. There's been times in which somebody has said something or done something that I didn't even think was offensive or whatever the case is. And they've come to me and they're like, I'm so sorry I treated you poorly in this manner. And you're like, oh, okay, apparently you treated me poorly in this manner. But having that level of awareness, one, on that note, I want to say some people are hyper aware and will actually not have meant anything terribly and think that you're mad at them. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the people who are so aware of the way that they speak to people, the way they interact with people, that they're actually willing to take accountability and learn and grow and be like, how can I be a better friend? How can I be a better person? And I think that's something that's very important. And that's something that I did a lot this year and I'm proud. Okay. All right. Now, on the topic of people, we always hear hurt people, okay? And I agree, right? Kind of. Hurt people. And the reason why I say kind of is I think any time that I've been going through a terrible time in my life, I think that's when I've been hyper, like, nice to people, right? So I don't know, but apparently hurt people. However, I will say you get to decide what you do and do not tolerate, right? I think the saying hurt people is supposed to give us a level of empathy. I think that's important. I think every human being should have the basic skill of empathy and understand that people are going through stuff that you don't know behind closed doors. However, you decide what you tolerate. I don't think that understanding, okay, that person is going through something ever justifies the way that they treat you. And I mean ever. Maybe like a few exceptions to that. But I think going through something does not mean that you can throw away every single, you know, element of being a good person at the door. I don't think you going through something means that you should make everybody else around you's life terrible and miserable as well, which sounds really, really harsh. Really harsh. Don't clip it, guys. I'm sorry, but I truly mean it. I think oftentimes we continue to make justifications for people's terrible actions when we don't. I think you shouldn't be the cost of that, right? Hurt people, it's true, but I don't think your mental health, your sanity, your peace should be at the cost of that. And a lot of times we let it be at the cost of it. We're like, oh, she's being really terrible. I know she's going through a lot. And I think one thing for me is like, I've probably been guilty of that where I'm like, okay, I'm going to give them grace. But then the grace just extends a little bit too long. And they continue to think that this can be a pattern, right? I think also it could be a simple conversation. Hey, I know you're going through something right now. And because of that, I'm not, you know, angry or doing all this stuff. But I just want you to know that, like, this isn't acceptable. You can't be treating people like this. You can't be talking to people like this. I think we do need to hold people accountable. I think sometimes we have to do it a little bit more gentle, especially when people are hurt. But I do think hurt people shouldn't be an excuse for people to treat you like trash. And I think that's something that it took a while to learn, but I'm very glad that I've learned, because I think I'm a people pleaser, or I was. And so constantly, you know, just be like, it's okay, they're going through something. Yeah, they are, but so is everybody else. So yes. All right. This is one, I think Mel Robinson has said this, but maybe not. I don't know. But people create a narrative of you, just let them. Yeah, it goes up to what I was saying about character. People want to create this story about you, paint you out to be some terrible person. Let them. Like I said, your actions will speak louder than anything else. Let them think that they have the last laugh. Let them think that, you know, I should have made this 21 minutes. That would have been perfect. But yeah. Okay, this one, I think I could do a whole podcast episode on, and maybe I will one day, but it's about success, right? So your inability to cheer for other people's success will typically just prolong your own. What? I want to be a person that my friends are not afraid to tell their accomplishments, that they're not afraid to hit me up when things that, whether they're little or small or big or whatever, that they're like, I know Lily will celebrate me regardless because she knows it's not a competition. Have those people in your circle. When you are unable to cheer for other people's success, you usually have the mindset that you think that success is a competition, that the reason why you can't cheer is because you haven't gotten what you want. So why would I cheer for them? What? It's not about you. It's not about you. A lot of us live an egocentric life. Okay. And I think this year made me realize it more than anything. A lot of people live an egocentric life. It's really easy to identify, but especially when it comes to different things like success, like you making, you know, big decisions and all those different things, like don't be around egocentric people. Don't, because my success has nothing to do with you. Just like your success has nothing to do with me. It's not a competition. I'm cheering you on regardless. I never thought this was a competition. I want the absolute best for you, just like I hope that you want the best for me. But one thing you need to take inventory of is it hard for you to cheer for other people's success? And there have been times in my life where it was hard for me to cheer for other people's success. And I had to evaluate myself and take a step back and realize, okay, why is that? And it's because I was treating it like a game. I was treating it like a little story, right? I'm sure, especially college app season in the very beginning, 100% it was a success left and right. What schools did you get into? What are you doing? Da, 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 da. What schools are you applying to? What's your GPA? All of it was a success, you know, little battle. And I just realized it's not worth it. It's not worth it. I'm not, you know, competing against you, although I technically am. I'm not competing against you to get the spot at this college. Like, we're all on our different journeys. I know wherever you're meant to be, you'll be, and wherever I'm meant to be, I'll be. And I wish you well. Okay? So yeah, do an inventory check. How hard is it for you to clap for other people's success? Because you're just prolonging your own. And I do want to talk about the prolonging process. I think typically also because I think other people's success is often seen as a threat of your own, right? So you're going to go into really like defensive mode when somebody else has a very successful moment. And you're just going to end up self-sabotaging. So that's what I mean that it'll prolong your success. Is like, if I'm constantly worried about other people, I'm not going to focus on myself. And that's the main thing you need to do is focus on yourself. But yeah, I think there are exceptions to this. But very rare. I'm thinking of very specific situations, but I think there are certain things, milestones, right, that people just aren't going to feel comfortable sharing with you because maybe the season of life you're in and all those different things, that's different. And I think if you're able to be aware and understand, hey, maybe this isn't something I need to share with this particular person, that's, I think, good that you're aware of that. But all right. Number 19, what's 9 plus 10? All right. Now, love everyone around you to the fullest. I think one thing that being here taught me is, you know, there's that we could all love everybody around us a little bit harder, a little bit more. And I think the people that you have in your life is such a gift. Like the odds of you meeting these people, going to this school, having these classes with these people is actually very small. And so I try and treat every interaction that I have with people like this is my opportunity to love on them and the best that they can. I want them to leave this conversation feeling even more loved, feeling more valuable, feeling like their place on this earth is very, very much intentional. And so one thing that I learned this year is really just love your people, especially being so far away from them. Obviously, I've met amazing people here that I love dearly, and that's going to suck when I have to go back. But I think love everybody around you, your family, your friends, all those different things, because we honestly don't know if tomorrow is promised. And I think that's a lot of people's biggest regret as they come to the end of their lives and they're like, I wish I loved this person more. Or I regret not doing this. I regret not being a better person. And I think genuinely, it's one of the only things God asks us to do is love everybody else around us without boundaries, love everybody else around you without reservations, understanding that like I'm supposed to have the same amount of love for this person that I do a stranger. It's like understanding that we're all here together and God put us on the earth at the same time for a reason, and just ministering to people around you, not through necessarily, you know, having the craziest sermon or whatever the case is, but really just loving on everybody and giving them the best that you can. And so I think that's something that I learned a lot more. But I think the past 21 years have really taught me that, especially that, you know, you don't know if tomorrow's promised. And so you really just want to love on the people that you have while you have them. So yeah, now I don't know what I did with this order. Cause I'm like, this is crazy. Number 20. This is crazy. Number 20, timelines are a joke. Okay. Timelines are a joke. They're a joke. They're a joke. They're a joke. You literally, any idea, anybody telling you you need to graduate by 22, you need to, it's a joke. Don't listen to them. You are on your own journey in life. You are on your own journey in life. Do not be caught up with what Timmy next door is doing, what grades Timmy next door is doing, when Timmy next door is getting a house. I don't care. You are on your own individual timeline. Right? I turn 21 tomorrow. I thought my life would look a little bit different than it does right now, which is crazy because I'm still very young. But I, you know, everybody thinks, okay, right? Like when you're in high school, you're like, oh my gosh, 21 is so far. Wow. That's actually crazy. I do remember being 18 and being like, oh my gosh, 21 is so far away. And it's tomorrow. But, or if you, like an hour. But timelines are a joke. Do not be so pressed by having very set deadlines and timelines about when you need to do this. I need to have a relationship. Yes, I think I talked about this last year, that how freshman year, my friend and I were talking and she was like laying out her like perfect 4-year plan. Okay, I need to meet my, you know, boyfriend, my future husband by sophomore year so we can get engaged senior year and I can get married and then I can go to grad school and all this stuff. And I was like, oh, you really have it set up. I, at that point, had no plan like that set up. I was like, okay, whatever happens, happens. But, you know, as you get older and you see things and you're watching TikToks and everybody's in love and you're like, what is going on? No. Timelines are a joke. Don't worry. And I mean this in every aspect. You're never too old to go to school, right? You're never too old to pick up that hobby. It's never too late to make that decision. I think one thing that we do is we sit around and we wait too long. However, don't get that conflated with this idea that I need to keep up with everybody else's timeline. Those are two separate things, right? Just don't put too much stress on yourself. Don't, you're literally, you're young, you're hip, you're cool. You don't need to be having everything figured out right now. It'll work out. You know, I fully thought I'll be engaged by 20, which it could still could happen. Hey, but I fully thought, you know, I'll be married by 25. I'll, you know, be a nice little attorney. Do that for a few years and then I'll have a kid and then I'll decide, do I want to continue my journey? Like I fully thought this is more recent because freshman year, I didn't think about any of this, but now I'm like, you know, I've had my Pinterest board for my engagement rings for a while. So, you know, I'm just waiting. So I said, I'm not too stressed about that timeline. Hey, 20, that's crazy. 25 is 4 years away. Oh, wow. This is getting a little bit serious. This is me having the realization actively live with you guys that I am aging. And that's okay. That's beautiful. But yeah, no, 25, thought I would have a house. Thought I'd be, you know, giving wag maybe. I don't know. Actually, no, that sounds very terrible. Shout out professional athletes. But I'm chill. I'm good. But no, I was really just thinking about that. But I realized timelines are a joke and I don't know why I thought that I needed to have my life figured out by 25, that I needed to be married by 25, which is insane. Have you met 25-year-old men? Sorry. Oh, that's not funny. Yes, it is. It is funny because I don't know. Anyways, timelines are a joke. Okay, go get that degree. It doesn't matter if you're 30. Go get it. I know you want to. Yeah, okay. You may feel whack for a little bit. You may feel out of place, but I promise you, timelines are a joke. And also, don't compare yourself to other people. Comparison is the thief of joy. You know how I feel about that. Don't compare yourself. Everybody's on their own journey. It doesn't matter. Okay? Timelines are a joke. Quick little hydration break. Okay. Last one. For 21. God will always replace the things that he removes in your life with even better. Whether that's opportunities, whether that's people, whether that's circumstances or whatever the case is, like everybody's seen the picture of the little girl holding the little bear and being like, but I love it, God. And he's like, just trust me, like I have something better for you. And just believe it. I think I've experienced this multiple times in my life, specifically in the area of friendship. Just being so heartbroken and like, oh my gosh, my life's over because this person I thought that was going to be in my life forever is not. And God just knew that that's not what you need. And he just blessed me with amazing people. And there are some things where I'm still, you know, on the other side of that. Because I think one thing we think is, like, as soon as God takes us away, he's going to replace it with something better. But I think it's oftentimes a journey. It's a process. It's not usually, like, an immediate transaction type of thing. It takes time, but also takes you having faith and believing that there is better. Because it's so easy to settle in friendships and relationships and all those different things. But understanding that God removed that thing because it wasn't good for you. You didn't need it right now. He had something so much better for you, and you have to wait. I have a friend who, you know, is going through or went through, I don't know, is in the midst of a breakup, right? And just reminding her, just a quick encouragement, right? I was like, I honestly don't know how you feel. Because to be honest, I can't speak to your current feelings. I don't know what it feels like to be with somebody who you thought was going to be for the rest of your life. You know, and me and this person aren't close. But I felt like I could speak life in this situation. And I was like, just trust and believe that God is going to bring you your person when the time is right. She's like, I needed that. I was like, good. Now, stand up. Because we can't be settling around here. I'm like, ugh. Guys, God has so much in store for all of us. And I think really, really, really leaning into that and understanding the best is yet to come. Just speak that over your life every day. Wake up and be like, the best is yet to come. I know that there's greater things ahead, right? Amen. Amen. Well, that's 21 things that I've learned. I did really briefly want to talk about birthdays, right? Because I think birthdays are a hard time for a lot of people. I think me, especially, you know, continuously. Let me just read this to you guys, because I don't know if I'm going to make this my Instagram caption if I post something. But I did want to just read this and kind of explain this. But yeah, I think for a lot of people, birthdays are hard. So I'm going to read this. I don't know if this will be my caption. I don't know if I'll check it out. I don't know if this is something that I feel like I need to share, but the podcast kind of feels like my safe place in many ways. So I'm going to read this. Okay. 21. Birthdays have traditionally been hard for me. I'm sure not only for myself, but for many. For years, I have battled this overwhelming belief that I wasn't valuable enough to be celebrated. I dreaded birthdays because it always felt like a physical manifestation of those thoughts. 21 is traditionally a milestone for many, but for me this year, it feels different. For years, I struggled, often silently, with mental health and never imagined that I would make it past the age of 13. The thought of a life that wasn't constantly questioning my worth seemed so far out of the picture. But thank you, Jesus. He continued to meet me at the lowest of my lows and reminded me that I am worthy. There will be days, hard days, when anxiety gets the best of us, but my strength and security is rooted in him. Know that you're not alone in your struggle, and I promise that the pain you feel in the moment will be nothing compared to the joy that is to come. And so I remember always crying on my birthday. Everybody cries on their birthday, okay? I think. But it wasn't because, you know, I was happy. It was because I felt like, oh, yeah, all your feelings of inadequacy make sense. Look how many people texted you happy birthday, right? And we constantly compare our worth to other people's ability to show up for you. And I promise you, it's not the same thing. And so I think I'm going to take time to myself and just reflect. And after this, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go put some chicken nuggets in the oven, and then I'm going to come back upstairs and write myself a little note. And I just want to remind you, or anybody who's struggling, whether it's the holiday season or their birthday in particular, whatever the case is, just know that there is good things to come. And I think I'm a living proof, living testament of that. I'm so glad that I've stuck around. I'm so glad that you guys have stuck around. And just, I want you to know that you're not alone in the midst of your struggle. And I hope that, you know, the 21 things that I've learned have been helpful. Because I know it's been fun to record. But yeah, happy birthday to me, almost. Okay, well, I will see you guys soon. Okay, is it going to be traditional? I don't know. I heard a little special somebody that you guys loved having the podcast might be coming to a different continent to hang out with me for a little bit. So maybe we'll film some content. Maybe we won't. I don't know. But maybe you'll see me one more time before the end of the year. But if not, I love you all. Be safe this holiday season. I'm thinking of you. I can't wait to see all your pictures and posts and everything that you do. Also, shout out everybody who reposted their Spotify Wrapped and had Remix Reality as one of their top podcasts. That's so sweet. What's funny is a lot of you guys were in like the top, because I got Remix Reality as my top podcast, obviously, right, on my Spotify. But a lot of you guys were in the top, like a higher percentage than me. And I just found that funny. Like, I think a friend was in like top 9%. I was in top 11. So I was like, I find that hilarious. But anyways, I want to say thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of Remix Reality podcast. I hope I've been able to be some sort of comfort, joy, or everything in between. And yeah, I can't wait to connect with you guys really soon. We got some good things cooking up. I heard Valentine's Day's around the corner, and maybe Cupid Love Doctor Lily will be back in session this February. Until then, I love you guys so much. Happy New Year. Bye-bye.